At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com today for limited time offers.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We cannot allow perfection to stand in place of a great bill. This bill will provide the largest tax cut in U.S. history, the largest spending cuts in U.S. history, the largest one-time investment in the border, creating the Golden Dome for national security. These are all things that the president campaigned on. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime, tax relief for seniors. Our colleagues will come to the table, and they will find out the right vote is a yes vote. Failure is not an option. I guarantee you this will be on the president's desk by July 4th.
I guarantee you, says Jason Smith. And Hakeem Jeffries like, well, I would like a minute. Let's go to Hakeem Jeffries right now, who is on the House floor, and he's doing his very best. Let's listen in.
I'm not questioning anybody's faith.
This is live, right?
I'm just making an observation.
Yeah. Observation.
Got some folks in this town, they go to church and they pray on Sunday. P-R-A-Y.
Ooh, we're spelling. Gotta fill the time.
And then they come to Congress and pray P-R-E-Y on the American people. I'm not down with that kind of faith.
How do we happen to get that soundbite?
Oh, man, he's bringing the heat in hour 7 or something like that? I don't know.
What time do you start?
7:30 maybe? I don't know.
He's on hour 8. He's actually over 8
They
hours.
Said if he gets to 1:30, which I presume is Eastern time, that he will break the prior vote on or record on longest magic minute speech. The Congress calls this the magic minute.
He is desperate to show that he is resisting because people don't, even on the left, I don't really see a lot of people who like him.
But let's catch everybody up here. So yesterday, the House, we talked with Congressman LaHood, and I asked him if it was going to get signed, if the big, beautiful bill was going to get passed through the House and be able to be signed by President Trump on July 4th. And he basically didn't say no. And he made it seem like it was a possibility. So you're saying there's a chance. So last night, the way this all goes is you have to vote on the rule, which means essentially you're voting to vote. You're saying, I vote yes that we would like to vote on this bill, which does make sense if you're trying to assemble 435 people representing the entire country to come together to vote. You would probably want to make sure that everybody was prepared to vote on the issue. So you have to vote on the rule in order to enter the opportunity to vote yes or no, yay or nay, on the actual bill. The vote on the actual bill has not happened yet. After a lot of hemming and hawing last night, of which I stayed awake for like a doofus, watching, paying attention to what happened, wanting to see what developed, it got to the point where I was watching reruns of Jesse Waters and Sean Hannity, and they would break in with news if it happened. Oh gosh, how do I do this? I struggle watching one of those. And I
But you were try, watching for the breaking
and
news.
And I try not to miss the other. So okay. Moving on. Yeah, I was watching for the breaking news because just as Elon Musk has highlighted many times, people go to X for their news. So I'm on X, but I was also getting some work done at home, doing some crafting, I'll just say it that way, at home and while this is all going on. So I can't sit and just watch and scroll on X. I have the news on so that if something happens and I can go, okay, let me see what the actual latest is on X. And probably around late in the 1 p.m. hour, early in the 2 a.m. hour, Johnson's got the votes. I'm like, sweet, I want to see this. I fell asleep. I'm so mad. I stayed up and I didn't get to see that stuff culminate, but they finally got to the point where there were eight people who hadn't voted. So they had 215 no's on the rule, not on the actual vote. And it went back and forth between like 207 and 208 yays, because Thomas Massey voted in favor, yay, on the rule to say, yeah, let's get to the vote. It was about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock last night where he's like, never mind, I changed my vote. So as long as the vote is open, as long as the speaker hasn't come in and closed the vote, people can hold off on voting. People can, discuss, debate. I think it's a really cool process because nobody is forced to do anything. And you're not going to trip up and say, no, you've got me down for a no. I thought I said yes. You can change your vote. Once you voted, until the vote is closed, you can hold off on voting. You can go run up and vote and then be in, hours of conversation and then go, I think I changed my vote. They've changed my mind. And then you can go back and change your vote. So until the vote is closed, you don't know what's happening. Massey changed his vote. And his comment to Fox News last night was that the American people don't know the difference between the rule and the vote. My interpretation of that was he voted in favor of getting on with it, but there are people who are confusing his vote in favor of the rule as a vote for the big, beautiful bill. And at that point, there were eight people who hadn't been convinced to vote yes for it, so I think he wanted to not be confusing people because at that point, his vote didn't matter. So eventually the persuasion sets in, they're able to get past this rule, and then once that happens, you get to hand the minority party a magic minute that is kind of like the biblical minute, like the biblical day. You have to go back to the original text in order to find out, does day mean 24 hours or like a millennium? We don't know. Well, for Democrats, it means at least more than 60 seconds. So we're monitoring it. Let's listen in here. Put him back up there and see what it is he's having to say here.
Farmers, law-abiding immigrant families, small business owners.
I wish
all of the things that we've spent some time on this House floor talking about.
Ryan, I wish you'd support me like they're supporting him when he's talking.
That this bill is trying to destroy.
That's right.
I'll do it the rest of this segment. I want to listen to him first.
I'm going to
make some anything
ridiculous statements.
In the Bible and the New Testament, certainly not.
What?
In Matthew 25 and 35. Matthew 25, the 35th chapter, and all the way through the 40th verse. But somehow I happened upon John 10 and 10.
Somehow.
And thinking about this one big, ugly bill.
Rubio Sip of Water, sponsored
the
by...
The thief Aquino. Comes. Only to steal.
Steal.
Kill.
Kill.
And destroy.
This is in the Bible where Jesus was talking about Republicans.
But America is a resilient nation.
That's right.
We are.
We're an exceptional nation.
Yeah, we are.
We're a strong nation.
Yeah, we are.
We've been through turbulence,
mm-hmm.
trials and tribulations,
mm-hmm.
and we always somehow have found a way to make it through.
Yes.
Because of the resilience, Mr. Speaker, of the American people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens today as it relates to this one big ugly bill, if my Republican colleagues decide that once again, Mr. Speaker, you're simply going to make the decision to serve as a reckless rubber stamp of President Trump's extreme agenda.
I wish they'd start singing.
I still have faith in the United States of America.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's kind of a positive message there.
Still have faith in the United States of America.
From the minority. That's honestly been the MO of the Republican Party for the last 4 years. Like, as bad as it gets, they still have faith in the American people.
That's good.
Hakeem Jeffries, man. He's my guy.
I was waiting for him to start quoting Bible verses about debt and how bad it is. He didn't quite get there.
Look at the debt ceiling part. In Matthew 73.
Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave to the lender.
Flee the hand of the debtor.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
He's still going.
That's good, right, Annie.
I know that. Thank you. I'm going to pause to have a discussion with you each time. I don't know how to do this.
you're killing it. Keep going.
If that were a Republican congressman doing this, I wouldn't be mad at it. You're delaying the inevitable. You have nothing else to do. You have no other power.
No, yeah. I don't know that anybody cares that this is happening. Other than the people in the room who are like, all right, we got to do some business. When's he going to be done?
Well, also, it is the 4th of July tomorrow, yeah. Independence Day. A lot of people looking forward to probably a holiday weekend. And there have to be Democrats who are like, come on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They're not going to say it out loud, yeah. But like, I would like to leave here.
This is a cooler full of soda out there waiting for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it's soda.
Conclusion.
Yeah, I will check myself. I'm not going to make fun of him. I think that it's actually a pretty impressive task that he's been standing for what's going to be like 8 hours plus doing this. And this is what you got to do. Use it wisely. If you're trying to generate some clips and some social media to tell the people what the alternative is, this is a chance to do that. But anyway, by the time you're done, we're going to pass this big, beautiful bill. And Donald Trump's going to have it on his desk on July 4th. That's at least what we are told, that the Republicans do have the votes. Let's take a quick break. Hans Bukowski is going to be with us next. Excited to talk to him. We do have Congressman Mike Bost at 1 o'clock. It's possible they could be voting then. So maybe we'll be flexible with him. Maybe he won't be able to make it with us. But we are scheduled to talk with a member of the House of Representatives at 1 o'clock. Don't go away. A whole lot of nothing got place. Where the stars and stripes
and the eagle fly will be to the American people.
Does Hakeem Jeffries still talking live on the House floor in his magic minutes? We're going to add an S to that because it's been going for a while. And I don't know how long it'll continue to. Think he wants to break a record. I guess you get like a plaque if you do that. But the big, beautiful bill is on its way to passing in the House of Representatives if Mike Johnson aptly does have the votes that he says he does. Let's get to our guest. Excited to have Hans von Spakovsky back with us today, the senior legal fellow for the Heritage Foundation, former FEC commissioner. Hans, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Well, it's nice to be talking with you again. And, you know, speaking of Speaker Johnson, I don't know if you saw the very funny story about several Democratic members of Congress who happen to be doctors who tried to hold a press conference wearing their white medical coats in front of Speaker Johnson's office, and the reporters couldn't hear them because of the horde of tourists going through the hall.
Oops. That's how in the Midwest we say, oop. Hans, I want to get your thoughts on just observing the constitutional process right now taking place with the House of Representatives going back and forth. I mean, like, how does a bill become a law? This is very interesting stuff for people to learn how this process goes. It's been quite entertaining to see the lengths with which each party has gone to try to do something, to affect something. What do you think so far?
Well, it's really interesting. Remember, this appropriations bill started in the House, and that's because constitutionally all appropriations bills have to start in the House. Once it passed the House, it went over to the Senate. Because the Senate changed the House version, this new Senate version had to go back to the House. Now, if the House approves the new Senate version, well, then it's ready for the president's signature. If the House makes further changes in the Senate version, it has to go back to the Senate. Mm. And it's basically like ping pong until both houses have voted for exactly the same version of the bill.
So, Hans, I was messaging back and forth a little bit last night with a congressman, and I was like, you can change the bill. The House can change the bill if they want and send it back to the Senate. And his response was yes, but then it has to go into committee. So there are procedural things that have to happen that slow the process down for that July 4th deadline. Right. How important constitutionally is the July 4th deadline?
Well, I don't know. I think it's kind of more symbolic. What the congressman was talking about, by the way, is that although it's not required in the Constitution, often what happens when the Senate and the House vote on what is essentially the same bill, except there are slight differences between the two, is usually what happens is the House and the Senate appoint members of a committee. It's a joint committee, members of the House, members of the Senate, and they try to work out the differences between the two houses and come up with one version that both sides agree on. So that's what the congressman was talking about there. The key thing in all of this, remember, is that because this is a reconciliation bill having to do with the budget, it passes on a simple majority vote, and it cannot be filibustered. This kind of bill can't be filibustered in the Senate. That is a crucial factor because, as you know, it barely passed in the Senate. And if they had to get 60 votes to overcome a filibuster, there's no way it would ever pass the Senate.
Right. Hans von Spakovsky with us, a legal expert, constitutional expert. It's great to have you here on this day where we're watching Congress in action. I do want to shift over to a different co-equal branch of government in the judicial branch, because last week we had some really big rulings from the Supreme Court. I've got a specific one that I want to talk to you about, and that's that Maryland case with right. The classroom and the subject matter that kids were having that parents were told you can't opt out. It's too burdensome for the school, for all of these people to opt out from this sexually charged language and literature curriculum that was being put in front of these kids. How that doesn't just apply to when the Supreme Court rules on it. That doesn't just apply to Maryland, correct? That's a right. Nationwide ruling.
Yeah, it sets the standard, and it's important for people to understand that it wasn't parents trying to opt their kids out of a sex education class, the kind you see in high schools. The school board had infused this sexually explicit material into almost the entire curriculum. And we weren't talking about high school kids. They started in the pre-kindergarten stage.
It's outrageous.
So this is, yeah, it
terrible.
Is outrageous. And by the way, since we're talking about the kind of transgender and homosexual material they were putting in, the Supreme Court just today accepted an appeal. They accepted appeal. They're going to hear it in the fall of challenges to laws of two different states that say that biological males cannot compete in women's athletics. That is a very big deal, and that's going to be a case just as important in the next term of the Supreme Court.
Hans von Spakovsky with us right now. So the question before the court: will they be ruling whether or not non-biological males can participate in whatever their gender identity sport is?
What they're going to be deciding, the challengers saying, who went up against these state laws, said these violate the Civil Rights Act. They discriminate on the basis of sex. So what the Supreme Court is going to be looking at is whether or not saying that you have to participate in the sport that you're biologically born in, whether that violates the Civil Rights Act. I think the folks challenging this law are going to lose. I just don't see how in the world the Supreme Court could rule any other way. I mean, we know how the three liberals will rule.
Sure.
The same way they ruled in that case last week. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, look,
it was a 6-3 decision.
Yeah. Ketanji Brown Jackson, just from my, where, you know, you go to read the catty remarks after the fact, X, I was reading people who are smarter than me legally, and that's most people, reacting to Ketanji Brown Jackson's dissent and the way she positioned herself, the way she has handled herself during these hearings. Do you have thoughts on her ability to do the job of a Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, I have grave doubts about it. I actually think her dissents and her handling of these cases shows that someone who really was not qualified to be on the court was confirmed to the court. And it's clear that the other justices are tired of her and her emotional ravings. And you can see that in the fact that in the birthright citizenship case decision last week, that was also a 6-3 decision. But her dissent, she wrote a separate dissent. The other two liberal justices, they didn't join her dissent. That's significant that Kagan and Sotomayor did not feel comfortable signing on to her dissent, which, like I said, was just an emotional raving with no legal analysis in it. And everybody's been talking about the fact that the majority opinion written by Amy Coney Barrett really was a scathing takedown of Jackson. But listen, the other five conservative justices all signed on to it. So you have six justices very critical of Jackson, and you have the other two liberals not willing to sign on to her dissent. That tells you quite a bit about how she is viewed in the court.
Hans, just a question. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I'm just trying to peek behind the curtain, and maybe you have a little insight. Do the Supreme Court justices, like, golf together? Do they go to the bar after a tough day at work and talk about their, like, do they socialize together?
I don't know if they still do. You know, Justice Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were well known for the fact that both of them really liked opera, and they used to go to the opera together all the time. So they certainly socialized with each other. How that's happening or what's going on now, I don't know, because I mean, some of the dissents written by particularly Sotomayor also, I mean, she is using, I mean, I would describe the dissents as emotional tirades from some of them. So I don't know how easy it is to socialize with somebody that criticizes you in that way.
Yeah. I'm just imagining going to see the new Jurassic World movie and you're like, hey, there's a third of the Supreme Court sharing popcorn. Hans, real quick, I want to dip back to that Maryland case here because I have a question I've been meaning to ask any legal expert, and I wanted to save it for you. What was ruled, my understanding is that the school can't force these parents to send their kids to consume this, and a lot of it had to do with maybe religious freedom because there were Muslim families involved, Christian families involved. Was it a religious was that part of the ruling here?
Yeah, the court did rule that this violated these people's sincerely held religious beliefs. But I frankly think that if some parents had come forward who were, you know, not religious, objecting to this, I don't think it would have made any difference to the court's decision.
Well, Hans, here's my question for you. And I don't know anyone who's talking about this, but it's been brought to my attention elsewhere. Is there any consideration for the public school educators who are being forced to educate on this material? Do they have a legal right to opt out of educating something that goes against their religious beliefs?
Yes, there have been court cases about that. And you don't lose your religious freedom rights just because you are a teacher. And I think you as a public school teacher have a right to opt out of teaching things that would violate your religious beliefs.
Certainly in a lot of these different areas where DEI and critical race theory have really seeped in, it's not like you go to your critical race theory class. The point of CRT was to seep into everything. So it's inseparable. So you might have a math teacher who's trying to teach algebra, and all of a sudden there's some sort of like word problem that now has to incorporate some sort of CRT. Is it your understanding that the math teacher would be able to say, I'm not teaching that?
Yeah, they probably would end up in litigation, but under the Constitution, I do think they have a right. You know what I would tell that math teacher? Wait till the next school board seat opens up and run for the school board, get elected, and change it from the top.
All right, there you go. There's the advice from Hans von Spakovsky. You are the expert. We're glad you're here with us today. Thank you for being with us, and happy Independence Day.
Sure. Same to you. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Let's listen. Is he still talking? Yeah. Woo! Hakeem Jeffries.
And you will have an opportunity to end this national nightmare as part of Project.
YouTube's like, I'm tired.
No, thanks.
I'm just done with this.
We've been done to do this for a while.
All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll wrap up a little bit of discussion regarding the big, beautiful bill. We'll reset where it is right now and what's going to happen next. Congressman Mike Bost. Brad, why don't you, in this very, very quick break, folks, do you like the quick breaks? Text with the Boss people and make sure that we're still on schedule with them, and we'll let you know, because he's supposed to be with us at 1 o'clock. I want Mike Bost to just like slowly walk in front real close to the camera.
And just wave.
And just be like, we're good. 1 o'clock. Hakeem Jeffries won't care. He probably can't even see straight right now. He's been talking for 8 hours. Keep it here on the Andy Fry Show. We'll be right back.
The podium for more than an hour trying to discredit this bill right now.
Well, you know, Maria, I'm not going to take firefighting advice from an arsonist. The Democrats had the majorities. They blew out the budget. They had the tons of wasteful spending, and we inherited a mess. And under President Trump's leadership, along with Speaker Johnson, Leader Thune, we are going to get the economy humming again via the private sector. This is a Main Street working America bill. It is going to address the affordability crisis. We are going to increase working people's wages. And, you know, the Democratic Party at present doesn't stand for anything. They're just against everything. And you know, let's see where the economy is this time next year. Yeah. I think this bill, over the next year, we are going to see growth like we have not seen. And importantly, it is going to be non-inflationary growth, which is something the Democrats couldn't do.
Scott Bessent, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, they just said that he'd been speaking for over a little over an hour, and the timestamp on there is 7:03 a.m. Eastern. So it sounds to me like he started talking at about 7 a.m. this morning, which I think is what I remember them saying last night. He has officially broken the magic minute floor speech record. Prior to this moment in time, it was Kevin McCarthy that held that Magic Minute speech record. Huge accomplishment. Ryan, tell us about that speech that Kevin McCarthy gave.
It was one for the ages. These are speeches that everybody remembers years later. And McCarthy's was definitely one of those. Now, let me transition real quick to talk about Hakeem
Brad,
Jeffries.
Shush, Brad, that speech that Kevin McCarthy gave, the Magic Minute record-holding speech.
Yeah, he broke the record. I remember that. And then he was like super passionate about what he was talking about. And he gave
long.
Yeah, it was long. And he made very poignant points.
He's done. Turn him on.
He's done.
Turn him on. He broke the record.
We're going to press on.
We're gonna. Oh wait, maybe he's not done.
We're a little bit behind.
They're kissing him, and laying hands on him, and clapping in unison for him.
We're gonna press on for our children.
Yes.
Press on for our seniors.
Yes.
Press on for our veterans.
Yes.
Press on for our unions.
Yes.
Press on for our farmers.
Yes.
Press on for our dreamers.
Yes.
Press on for working class Americans.
Yes.
Press on for the middle class. Press on for all who aspire to be part of the middle class.
Yes.
Press on for the poor.
Yes.
Press on for the sick.
Yes.
Press on for the afflicted.
Yes.
Press on for the least.
Yes.
Press on for the lost.
Yes.
Press on for the left behind.
Yes.
Press on for the rule of law.
Yes.
Press on for the American way of life.
Yes.
Press on for democracy.
Yes.
We're going to press on
yes.
until victory. is one.
Ron says, press off.
I yield back.
Okay, so he's done. He broke the record. Bully for him. I think the point we're making with the Kevin McCarthy thing is we don't know what he was talking about. I probably am in favor of the things he talked about. Probably.
Would you say,
I don't know what it was.
Would you say, now that the speech is over, would you say that that speech is the defining moment of the Trump presidency?
Somebody said that the Democrats won't stand for anything. Of course they will. He just stood for 8 hours for himself.
He's in the record books.
Yeah.
So
his name.
Yeah.
And the big, beautiful bill, one step closer to passing. While he was going through his press-ons, remember when Mike Johnson actually took the speakership? No. It was when Kevin McCarthy got the speakership the first time. After all, it was like 18 different votes or whatever. And as per the usual here, Jason Smith's going to speak. Let's cue into that. Hakeem Jeffries gets the opportunity to speak before the new speaker gets to speak as the minority leader. It took me halfway through the alphabet to realize he was going through the alphabet.
Oh, yeah. That's
Do you remember
right.
that?
That was tough.
He was going, press on, blah, blah, and I was like, ooh, what letter did that start with? I'm like, are we doing this again? I need to know. Missouri Congressman Jason
Listening
Smith.
To a lot of words, a lot of comments, a lot of inaccurate statements, and where I come from.
Press on.
Could we have order?
Woo. Order.
Gentlemen, the House will be in order. House will be in order,
this
please.
This is happening right now, folks.
The House will be in order. Thank you. Gentleman from Missouri is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I come from the Show Me State. And what we just heard can be defined in one word. A bunch of hogwash is what we've heard for 8 hours on that side of the building.
I think hogwash was the one word.
I'll tell you, for the 8 hours, Mr.
So.
Could we have order?
We're unsure.
Yeah.
I'm going to suspend. The House will be in order. Thank you. He's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the 8 hours of hogwash that we just heard will not change the outcome that you will see very shortly when we deliver historic tax relief for working families, small business owners, and farmers. Mr.
Look. He's got a man to his bottom left who's pointing
Mr.
at something
Speaker,
specifically
I yield
in a speech.
1 minute. To our great Speaker of the House, Mr. Mike Johnson.
All right. Hey-o.
That wasn't us. That was the House.
I heard that and I was like, wait, was that Ryan? No.
I thank the gentleman from Missouri. I thank you, Mr. Speaker.
That's a big binder. Is that the bill?
You know, Ronald Reagan said one time that no speech should be longer than 20 minutes, and unlike the Democrat leader, I'm going to honor my colleague's time and be a little more brief than that, all right? You know what? I just want to say something that many of us learned when we were children. We were taught, you know, it takes a lot longer to build a lie than to tell the simple truth.
That hey-o in the background is Steve Scalise. He's having a lot of fun. He's probably sleep drunk. He's pumped.
Some fist bumps going on, too.
And Tom Emmer is sitting next to him. You know what? They should just stand and clap for 8 hours.
My friends and colleagues on both sides of the aisle, we've waited long enough. Some of us have literally been up for days now. But this day, is a hugely important one in the history of our nation. We have a big job to finish, and that's why we're here on the week of July 4th, just a day before now, America's birthday. It was on that fateful day, as a Democrat leader acknowledged, that our founders pledged their lives and their sacred honor to this grand experiment in self-governance that we are now here to steward. It's an experiment that falls to us to guard and to protect it. We take that very seriously on this side of the aisle. In just a few moments, we will remind the world why the American experiment still endures today and why its best days are still ahead of us. Mr. Speaker, with one big, beautiful bill, we are going to make this country stronger, safer, and more prosperous than ever before. And every American is going to benefit from that. Yeah. Today, we are laying a key cornerstone of America's new golden age. Now, listen. We have a few words of gratitude first. Scripture's been cited a lot this morning, I think mostly out of context, but what I will say... one thing that we know about Scripture is that we're supposed to give honor where honor is due, and that's what we do on this side of the aisle. I want to thank every single member of the House Republican Conference for their pouring their time and their heart and their expertise and experience into this process. I want to thank all of our amazing staff members, all of them. Yes.
Let's hear each of their names. How many staff members are working on this big, beautiful bill? Hundreds.
Their dedication, their endless hours, their hard work made this all possible. I want to thank the White House Office of Legislative Affairs.
So he's going to go through and talk about thanking people. And essentially what has happened... Hakeem Jeffries has had his minute to speak. He took 8 hours to use that minute, which is fine. That's part of the system. He used it. Good for him. And now we get on with the business. Now, we are going to dip out here real quick. We'll come back in, and I think we're just going to skip some of these pleasantries. We will pay attention to this, monitor it, and see, ultimately, what's the timeline on getting this sucker passed? And, folks, it has not passed yet. So could anything happen here in the bottom of the ninth? With two outs and two strikes, just ask David Freese. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. But we are going to be covering it right here, minute by minute, so stick with us. As Ryan mentioned before, who wins the 2026 midterms? A lot of people were saying if they couldn't get this done, it guarantees the Democrats do. Some of y'all don't like this bill and don't want to see the Republicans pass it. Annie Fry YouTube channel, come tell us. How does the midterm shape up in your mind right now? Annie Fry YouTube vote, leave a comment. We'll be right back. I think the Republicans were listening to the Rhythm of the Night last night at 3 a.m. trying to get the job done.
Not sure they ever stopped.
It's just on repeat. This is
it's
how
like
you get
Gloria,
the job done.
Yeah.
Rhythm of the Night is the 2025 Republicans' Gloria.
It's a big, beautiful Bill anthem.
Yeah. We're going to break out in a rave here pretty soon. Let's dip in here and listen to Mike Johnson, who is speaking right now after Hakeem Jeffries has wrapped up his magic minute. We should be getting ready to vote.
You got to hold soon. Your applause. There's too many wins. Are you tired of winning yet?
No!
Fourth jobs report in a row exceeds expectations. A sample of the headlines. Lowest monthly border encounters in U.S. history. We closed the border. Last couple of days, a new trade deal with Vietnam and all the countries of the world around the world lining up for that. UPenn agrees to ban biological men from women's sports.
Yeah! Yeah!
Steve Scalise is the woo girl. Steve Scalise is...
And they ought to give Johnson's a personal apology to every female athlete impacted by that nonsense.
Heck yeah.
Gas prices are at a four-year low, my friends.
On 4th of July
weekend.
The
Air Force and Space Force both hit their 2025 recruiting goals 3 months early.
Do you think Trump wrote this
Israel
speech?
Is agreeing to a 60-day ceasefire with Hamas. Successful strike on Iranian nuclear sites handles that problem. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Strength is back. America's back. It's resulted now in a ceasefire deal between Iran and Israel. The NATO countries are increasing their defense spending, not just 2%, 5% of GDP, okay? The president got in charge and got a Rwanda-Congo peace deal. The Supreme Court ended nationwide injunctions. How about that? Yeah. That conservative majority on the Supreme Court also allows third party or third country deportations. We've had a record high stock market, and we're signing a China trade deal. That's just the last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks. So many simple truths to share and so little time to do it, because I want everybody to have a break here. But I just want to say this. It's really nice to hear my Democrat colleagues suddenly take an interest in working Americans again. Did you pick up on that theme today? Let's be clear. Working Americans stopped trusting Democrats a long time ago. That is a fact. They're looking to this side of the chamber. They're looking to the Republican Party and our principles to deliver the relief and the reform that they have long demanded and they most certainly deserve. This big, beautiful bill fulfills all the promises in the America First agenda. It is the people's bill. It is made for and shaped by the most diverse coalition of American voters in American history. Today, we are making the dream of a government that puts the American people first a reality. A reality. I would need this entire notebook to tell you all the great things in the big, beautiful bill.
Please don't.
It is aptly named, but I'll just tell you a couple of the highlights. Record tax cuts for hardworking Americans. Historic savings at the same time to end reckless spending. We got energy dominance coming back to power our future. We have a secure border to protect American families. We have a strong military to restore peace through strength. And we have a government that is now accountable and responsive to the people once again. That's what we're delivering. For everyday Americans, this means real, positive change that they can feel, and they will feel much more when this bill is done. Families back home will have real relief, an average of $10,000 in their pockets, thanks to the largest working and middle-class tax cut in the history of this great nation. That's what we're doing today. You got hardworking Americans like our waiters and our bellhops and our hairstylists. They're going to keep 100% of their tips and overtime pay. That is money they earned. It does not belong to the government. It belongs to them, and they deserve to keep it.
I can make an argument that the other money that I'm earning
is small businesses that want to build and expand new factories. You know what they could do now? They can write off 100% of their investment. That will have us a lot more building. Young families who want to buy a home will be able to, thanks to historic savings that will put our country on a stronger financial footing. Pregnant women, children, seniors, single mothers, the disabled, and the low-income Americans among us receiving Medicaid and SNAP will have the peace of mind of knowing that we've made these safety nets stronger with our reforms.
There's so much that goes into this big, beautiful bill, and Mike Johnson, the speaker, is on the floor right now speaking after Hakeem Jeffries, of course, has finished his record-breaking 8-plus hours of dissent. And so there you have it. We are going to take a quick break here. Congressman Mike Boss is going to be with us, we believe, next. And when he gets on here, I'm going to ask him a lot of questions about, obviously, is this going to pass? Because I don't know that they're going to be able to pass it before he's done talking to us. But what's it like to be in a marathon like this? How does that work? How do the negotiations take place? Are they good faith negotiations? Congressman Mike Bost on The Annie Fry Show next. Getting the news.